Hello, my name is Sarah Latzenheiser. I'm 36 years old. Today is February 1st, 2019, and I'm speaking with my mom, Sheila Kenzel, who's my mom. We are in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're also here with Sheila's husband, my dad, Gary Kenzel. Hi, Mom.
Hi.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Gary.
We'll start out with the best. Tell me a favorite memory of me.
Of you.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's not so much probably what you would think, but it's a favorite memory because so much of everything that you did was, you know, really wonderful and outstanding.
Oh, thanks, Mom. That's nice.
It is true. But when you were about 3 years old, you had a big wheel.
Okay, I don't remember this.
And, of course, Scott had a big wheel, and you had a big wheel. And we lived at the top of a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And we would always have to go to the bottom of the hill to pick up your brother
mm-hmm.
at the bus stop. And we also had to go to the bottom of the hill to get mail. So we did that
mm-hmm.
twice a day.
That's anyway. A lot. That's far.
Yeah. And so your little legs, you would want to take your big wheel.
Okay.
You didn't want to walk. So I said that was fine. Well, when we would get to the top of the hill, I would always say, now, Sarah, you have to walk because this hill is too big and I don't want you to get hurt.
Right.
And so you would always walk. And one day you said, I want to ride my big wheel. And I said, no, Sarah, you have to walk. And you said, no, I'm going to ride my big wheel. And I said, Sarah, if you ride your big wheel and you go too fast, what will happen? And you said, I'll fall off my big wheel and get hurt. And I said, yes, that's right. And I said, is that okay with you? And you said, I want to ride my big wheel.
Oh, jeez. Good job. No, that's good. Okay. So I can see where this is going.
Wheel and you did, towards the bottom, lose control of the big wheel.
Was I, like, way in front of you? Or
mm-hmm. You were way in front of me. I couldn't catch up with you. I couldn't catch up with you to save you if I wanted to.
Okay.
And the hill was asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
So you fell in the road, at the edge of the road, of course, but it was asphalt, and so you got a lot of grit in your knee and your leg.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really painful, and it really hurt. And you, when I did catch up with you, and of course you were sitting in the grass with your big wheel crying, you just had this look on your face like, I don't know how to explain it, but it was just the funniest, most special look, like I was...
Like I should have listened to you?
Yeah, like you should have listened to me. And it doesn't happen very often that a child will get that look on their face.
Right.
To their parent.
Did I say sorry? Or anything?
You were crying and you were sorry that you fell.
Right.
You certainly weren't sorry that you did what you did, but you were sorry that you got
hurt. Were you secretly a little happy that I fell? Like, oh, she learned her lesson?
No, I wasn't secretly happy, but okay. what I what I was like I said, that look on your face that a child gives a parent, you know, like,
okay,
Mom, you really did know something. And of course, you were 3 years old and you haven't had that look since. No.
Right, yeah, and that was the last time. That's a good story. I did not know that, Mom. Okay.
Well, that's a truth. Okay. And of course, it was during a school day. Dad wasn't around. And by the time Dad got home, you know, you'd been cleaned up and the drama was over and everything. Right. So.
Did I ever ride my big wheel down the hill again?
No. Okay. And it never did affect you as far as riding your big wheel in the neighborhood or riding a bike, you know, like when you learned to ride a two-wheeler. Though I do think you did understand caution.
Yeah.
And that hill was something to be cautious about.
Right. Yeah, that was a big hill.
It was a big hill.
I remember that. Good story, Mom. Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life? We can always skip it.
Yeah, because we've had a lot of difficult moments. And it's hard to separate difficult moments. Like, I have had difficult moments in my life before I ever met Dad.
Right.
I have had difficult moments in my life since I've met Dad and to this day.
Mm-hmm.
I've had difficult moments with you and Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had difficult moments with Aunt Lily and Grandma Z and Grandma K. So I've had, I think, a lot of difficult moments, but I haven't had a moment that was the end of the world.
Okay, that's good.
So I guess I haven't had a difficult moment.
That was that difficult?
That was that difficult.
Did you want to talk about any of them?
Oh, I thought that was good enough.
So tell me about one of the most. But if you don't want to tell me about any of them.
I can, you know, it's just that I just don't think they're that interesting.
What about maybe a difficult moment as a mom?
Saying goodbye.
Like when we left for college?
Like when you left for the first day of school.
Oh.
Like when you left for college. Like when you left after college. Like when you left after college for after that. It's difficult moments every time to say goodbye.
Okay.
But I love you, and so I am glad that I have the opportunity to say goodbye.
That's good. Thank you, Mom. I love you, too. I remember one of those goodbyes was when it was my freshman year of college, and you remember this, too. And Scott and I were both at Michigan State, and we went home for homecoming, and Scott drove us, and I cried having to go back to college. Even though I wanted to, and I liked it, and I had a great first week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was hard.
It was hard. Yeah. What advice would you give your teenage self? She's taking a drink as I ask this question, just so the listeners are aware.
Not a very
alcoholic drink.
I was a foolish teenager. I did not have good counseling. I did not have people that really could give me good guidance. And so I made a lot of mistakes as a result of that, because I made my own choices.
Mm-hmm.
Without anyone else's help. And I think my one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't get good counseling in terms of career choices.
Okay.
Because I always felt less than.
Like you didn't think you were capable of everything.
Yes.
Okay. So if you could go back and not major in art history, what would you have told yourself to pursue?
I think I would have probably wanted to pursue something more like in the health fields, the medical fields maybe. Okay. And just used my art as something to relax maybe, to as a something to do in my retirement instead of something I don't want to do anymore.
Right. So, that's too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad. So, I mean, I have other regrets, but that's one that's
Do you feel that more so because of, like, you wanted to be able to have a job or provide better or something like that? Because, like, art history was hard to find a job with and you wanted to contribute or something to the family financially? Or was it because you didn't feel satisfied?
It was probably a lot of those things. But again, I just didn't think I had... I didn't realize what my options were.
Right, no one encouraged you.
No one...
How did you end up going to Michigan State? Like, how come you didn't end up at, like, Grand Rapids Community College? Like, because you were desperate to go away?
I went to the community college for 1 year.
Oh, you did? I didn't know that.
Yes. And then, my mother had saved up enough money for me to go away. And there was enough money there for probably 2 years.
Wow, okay.
And I just desperately needed to get away.
Okay.
And so the thought that I might not be able to have the money for the last year just was not an issue. It was like, I have to do this because I can't be here any longer.
Right. Did you know anyone when you went to Michigan State?
Yeah, Lynn Blossom.
You knew her before?
Oh,
you
went, she was school friend.
Oh, I thought you met her at Michigan State.
No.
Oh.
No, she was a high school.
So was she already there for a year when you came?
She was there already for a year.
Okay.
And so we were in a large room that had 2, 4, 6. Had 6 of us.
Okay. It
took up like one whole end of a floor. They don't do those things anymore.
That's cool.
But there were 6 of us, and Lynn and I were on one end, and then there were the other 4. And, so it was because of Lynn that I went there.
Oh, okay. Speaking of being at Michigan State, do you want to tell me how you met Dad?
I met him through friends that were friends. A friend of mine came to visit me.
Who was that friend? Do you remember?
Jan Wasorek.
Wasorek, okay.
It's Jan O'Neill now.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to visit me. Her brothers were up visiting friends.
Mm-hmm.
Gary happened to be one of those friends. They were visiting.
And Dad, how did you know the Wasorek brothers?
Through Rad Chanson.
Okay. Okay.
You know, it was just kind of back.
Right.
Kind of.
And so you met at a party?
We met at a party at Dad's apartment.
Okay. Dad, what did you think when you saw Mom for the first time?
Well, I knew her from before because we had met briefly at the Wasorik's house back in Grand Rapids.
Oh, okay. Mom, did you remember having met Dad before? She's shaking her head no.
I didn't have any particularly strong feelings one way or another.
Right, it wasn't like it was love at first sight or anything like that.
No.
How did you ask Mom out on a date, or did you just become... Mom asked you out?
No, it's her interview.
Oh, Mom, how did Dad ask you out on a date?
Well, I think I told you that he would drive home, and I would ride with him.
Oh, from East Lansing to Grand Rapids.
To Grand Rapids, and he was my ride.
Okay.
And he would charge everyone in the car... like $5 for gas.
Oh, this is cute.
Well, it's the truth. He would charge everyone for gas. And so I don't know how it kind of happened, but he asked me out. And I thought to myself, oh, well, yeah, I can do this. And then I don't have to pay for gas. And I've told Dad that he's given me a free ride ever since.
Oh my gosh, Mom, that's
that is the truth, isn't it, Jay?
Has she said that to you before?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I have said that to Dad ever since.
Okay. So you said yes initially because you didn't want to have to pay for gas.
It was a savings and I was very poor.
So how long did you date before Dad asked you to marry him?
How much gas did I save? Let's see. I'm just kidding. Right? How long did we date? Oh, we dated a long time. A year and a half, probably.
Because then you were graduating, Dad, and you had to decide if you're going to go to Houston or not.
Dad had already committed to going.
Right.
So what Dad had to decide was whether he wanted someone to go with him.
Right. Okay.
And that was...
Which she didn't go with me because she still had school to finish at least
a semester.
Her university.
And then you moved down after you got married and went to the University of Houston for a year. Did most of your credits transfer there?
Yeah, but Houston had a policy where they had a requirement that you know about Texas history.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So there were a couple of extra classes about Texas and Texas history
that I had to take
that just, you know, happened to add just enough to make it a little bit inconvenient, I guess.
Right.
But it worked out. It was okay.
Can you tell me about one or two people that you remember who've been particularly kind to you in your life?
Phil Wolves and Betty Wolves.
Okay, and how did you meet them? I know you walked with both of them.
No, I walked with Phil, and Betty was
your calligraphy teacher.
Yes, I walked with Phil, and he was one of those few rare retirees that walked at North Kent Mall for exercise when primarily most of the people that walked there for exercise summer and winter were, you know, women.
Right.
And so he was a very friendly man. He said hi to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what conversation I would have been having, but somehow he found out that I was a Central High School graduate.
Okay.
And he was a Central High School graduate.
Okay.
25 years earlier, but nevertheless. And so it was a point of conversation, and I think most people probably blew him off, you know.
Right, like this creepy old guy or something like
that. Not creepy old guy, oh, no, but just, no, just, you know, they didn't want to talk to some right. older man.
Right.
Oh, having never had a father image in my life, to have someone actually walk and talk with me that, you know, I wasn't going out with, or,
right.
or it was just a really, it was a great thing.
How did you transition from having a conversation that you both went to Central to then becoming walking buddies?
I'm not sure, because I would always walk with the ladies too, but I would always walk with Phil a little bit too.
Okay.
At least like one or two times around.
Okay. Go ahead.
And Phil's wife one time came to the
Betty.
Mall, Betty.
Mm-hmm.
Because Phil had they had to switch car keys or something.
Okay.
And so, you know, we met her there. But as we had walked over the few years that we had been walking, and that was just for a couple, I had gotten to know that, you know, she sounded like a really interesting lady. And at that time, Penny Lambert was setting up this Bible study at
okay.
my house, and Connie Coonley was coming,
mm-hmm.
and Penny's friend Kay was coming. But, you know, would have been nice to have, like, maybe one more. And so I said to Phil, I said, maybe your wife would like to come. Maybe like Betty would. And he said, well, I'll ask her. And so he asked her, and he came back, and he says, well, you don't really want her. She's, you know, 20 years older than you. And no, we really do. We want to have different
right.
perspectives. So she said, well, she would give it a try. And so she came to our Bible study.
That's pretty brave of her. She didn't know anybody.
She did not know anybody, no. But she, I think she wanted to do this.
For how many years did you guys do Bible study?
Gosh, I'd say 5.
Okay.
Yeah. And then towards the end of it, you know, like the last year or so, she had said that she did calligraphy, and I was thinking that I wanted to do something from an artistic perspective, but I didn't want to do anything where somebody would consider me as an artist. You
right.
know, I wanted it to be something different. So she did calligraphy, so she said yes, she would teach me, and she gave me a couple of lessons, and it was really quite boring. I mean, because it's just, you know, the first thing you have to learn is just how to make a straight line.
Right.
And then you have to keep making the exact same straight line for a page or more, you know. I mean, it's
right.
It's a discipline. It's not an art until you get past the discipline.
Right, then you can be, it's like, you can't get creative on the basketball court until you know how to do the basics.
I think that's a fair assumption, sure.
Thank you.
So that's probably...
So then you kept doing it? Because you liked Betty?
Because I liked Betty. Because Betty was really kind. Betty was kind.
Okay.
Betty was kind and Phil was kind and today. And I had often thought, had I had Phil and Betty Wolves as my parents,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't a criticism of how it turned out, but a know how differently I would have turned out.
Did you ever tell them that?
I'm not sure that I ever said it in those words, but they both knew that I loved them.
Good. Very good. And then Betty died first, right? And then Phil? How long after Betty died did Phil die?
Maybe 2 years. Maybe, at the most.
Okay. Bill. Phil and Betty Wolz.
Mm-hmm. W-O-L-Z.
W-O-L-Z. What are you most grateful for?
Your dad.
Aw, I'm gonna cry.
Well, you can cry, he won't.
Why are you grateful for Dad, Mom?
Because everything in my life would have been totally different without him. And it's been all the better because of him.
That's pretty sweet. So I hope I say that about Scott.
Well, you know, Sarah, we had our moments.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Where it was not fun.
Mm-hmm.
And where I said, I can't live this way anymore.
Right.
And I will do it with or without you.
But you guys both changed, or you both worked on it.
Right? We did. We did. And, I mean, there have been times where I think Dad has asked me to do things that I said I didn't want to do. And this was one big one that I asked of Dad to kind of make up for all the other ones.
What do you mean this? What are you referring to? This was one big one.
Well,
I was getting to be a cranky old man.
Oh, yeah. I second that.
You just really set in your ways where that you couldn't physically move.
But you're better. You're better now, Dan.
I think you are. Don't you think you're a better person for having done it?
Having done what?
Made the move.
Oh, you mean made
the physical move
to Las Cruces and
it
the house.
Was the
and we had a lot of challenges with our
the house.
Making a major the full transition
right.
to New Mexico.
Right, from Michigan.
Selling a house
yeah.
and getting a house in New Mexico and all this. And, all this stuff, gyrations and stuff. It was a very stressful time period. And it was
yeah, absolutely.
3 years before that, it was very stressful, or 3 to 5 years, because we were trying to figure out what we wanted to do.
And so much of what Dad felt emotionally was wrapped up in the house.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah, and I feel bad. Like, I never went back and helped you guys unpack and... Unpack.
No, you and Scott never did help, and it probably would have been even more emotional had you done that, so it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, but I think...
But you were not a good place at that time.
Yeah, no, I don't think I was.
I don't really remember.
Well, that was part of that whole drama.
The heart of the
yeah.
drama,
the drama
yeah.
at that time, too.
That was part of the whole drama. I mean, it was. It was a very stressful time for everybody.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. No, I am sorry, too.
It all worked out good, so.
I know, and I never could figure out why Scott didn't come and help. He never offered, I don't think, did he?
I don't know, but it's not a... he busy having
two little kids, yeah.
To take care of, I guess, I don't even think I even thought about that as an option, so it never even occurred to me, so...
I think it was probably when Aziz and Aziza were...
And they were having that.
Yeah. When they were divorcing, and he felt that he had to do for her, and yeah. So you didn't want to ask him to do one more thing?
Yeah.
I mean, had you, were you, if you had asked him, he would have helped Gary.
Yeah, oh, I know that.
Yeah.
I have no doubts of that. It's just
but
we didn't ask.
So. But you didn't ask.
Yeah.
Nor did we ask of you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, that, let me just say, this is Mom's interview, but I just want to say that the...
The controlling
spouse here. No, he just wants to say that Mom a lot of times has been the instigator of different changes in our lives at different times, and I've said to her that everything has worked out for the better in the end. Frankly, the house back in Grand Rapids, that seemed to be a major issue here, and it probably was at the time, but I had a little cry at one time about it, the day that I signed over the thing to Jason
right.
Coonley, in front of Jason actually a little bit, because I thought of all the memories and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, of course.
But after that, it's been a non-issue. I haven't really regretted it at all since. It's all been good. So, and I've told Mom that. She's
yeah.
been the instigator. I've sort of been the, well, maybe we shouldn't, maybe we
right.
couldn't. And it's all worked out positive,
right.
so I appreciate her.
Instigating
and
right.
not being overly insistent either,
right?
She's
just like, this is something we
no, I never insisted that we do it. I just felt that I had to do it. I had to be someplace in the, especially in the winter time, that was warm and sunny, because I was felt like I was dying in Michigan
right
when it wasn't. And there wasn't a light fixture or a pill that was going to fix that.
Right.
And Dad wanted to accommodate me, but he also wanted to say, well, let's stay here 6 months, and then we'll go there 6 months. And I didn't think that that was enough.
Right. And now you have 9 months and 3 months.
Yes, and I think it's just wonderful that way.
Good. And Dad does too.
Yes.
So, Mom.
Thank you, Gary, for making that move.
Yes, dear.
I couldn't have done
it. Yes, dear, you're right. I'm sorry.
I couldn't have done it without you.
Wow.
But
you didn't
I
want to do it.
But I was going to find a way to do it.
So, Mom, how has your life been different than how you imagined it would be when you were young?
It's been 180 degrees totally different. I never thought that I would be married with a family and children and grandchildren, and that I would be blessed with a lifetime of travels and interesting places to go and see and people to meet.
Do you ever want to go to Antarctica so you can say you've been to all seven continents?
No, because that's not, because I don't need a checklist.
Okay. Dad, do you?
No.
Okay. Did you ever have it? So did you think you'd be like a starving artist or something like that? Is that how you imagined your life when you were young?
I didn't ever think I would be a starving artist, because I was chubby. I was chubby, and as a child I was chubby as a child, and I was always on the chubbier side of every scale, you know.
Okay.
So I never thought that I would be a starving artist. No.
Did you think you would be an artist?
No.
Okay. So did you have any?
I mean, I never thought that. It's not that I didn't think I would be involved. I thought I would be involved in the arts.
Okay.
But I didn't think that I would necessarily be a famous enough artist to support myself.
Okay. And we come to the end of the interview. Mom, thank you for being my mom. Thank you for always making sacrifices for me. I still remember on all the trips that we would go on, you would hold my water while I ate a chicken sandwich from McDonald's in the back of the van, and then you would let me drink my water or my 7-Up or whatever it was, and then you would eat your salad. You always, so I could eat my food first.
Isn't that funny what you remember?
I do, I remember that. And then I remember when I couldn't...
Not enough cup holders.
Yeah, what kind of van did you buy, Dad? And then I remember when I couldn't play basketball at Michigan State, and I was crying on the stairs, and you said, let's go to Costa Rica. You tried to make it better. You're like, you've never been to Costa Rica. I want to go to Costa Rica. Let's go to Costa Rica. You tried to make it better.
That was one of the few times that I could... In your whole life, I never tried to make it better.
No, you didn't.
Because I couldn't.
Right, it's a good life lesson. Yeah.
But I thought that was an unfair lesson that you had to have. And who knows what would have happened had that?
Right, yeah, no, it's good that I didn't get to do that.
Do you think so?
Yeah, it probably is. I probably wouldn't have. You know, I don't know, who knows? I would have been too stressed out with school and everything. So,
well,
it's all good. It's my interview, not yours.
No, but I mean,
who's asking the questions around here?
No, but I mean, how did you,
it's not a fun time. But that's okay. You always took care of me when I was sick. I'd always be on the couch and you would take care of me when I was sick and I had to stay home from school.
Actually, I didn't do that much. I usually send you down to Grandma's.
Oh, I remember lying on the couch and you being in the kitchen.
Well, I mean, I didn't send you down to Grandma's when you were really, really sick. But, I mean, if I had something to do, I'd send you down to Grandma's.
Yeah.
Having Grandma was a wonderful thing for you and Scott.
It was, for sure.
And I felt like I had to give up something when she moved in because I knew that she would be important to you both.
Yeah, you mean like you had to give up, like that Grandma would spoil us?
Well, that just Grandma would be there for you and that Grandma would be maybe more important to you.
Oh, yeah. Grandma was important. She wasn't more important.
Yeah, but you know, when she moved in, that, like I said, that was me.
Yeah, I can imagine that, yeah.
Because I didn't want her to move in.
Right. But in the end, it all worked out.
In the end, I was glad. Yeah, she was a great lady.
Okay, we're going to end the interview. Thank you, Mom. I love you.